Todd Machover, thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, you're working on a composition, musical composition, for the Philadelphia Orchestra that involves collecting sound from people all over Philadelphia.
Yes, that's right. The idea is to make a piece that is a kind of portrait of Philadelphia or expresses something important about Philadelphia that does indeed use orchestral, kind of normal musical material, sounds from the city, in this case, as many voices from the city as possible. And I think what really makes the project different is that I've put out a call to invite people not just to send sounds, but to participate in the process of deciding what this piece should be and deciding what story to tell.
And that seems very much in line with the work that you've been doing over the years. So this piece, Philadelphia Voices, that you're working on now, how did it come to be?
So I've been doing a series of these kind of portraits, collaborative portraits of cities for the last few years. The first one was in Toronto, and that was a perfect case of kind of the way I think the Toronto Symphony Orchestra had come to me to say, would you, you know, we'd be interested in having you write a symphony. They'd known me for a while, so I think they expected me to come back with something unusual. At that time, actually, my daughter was maybe 15, and I was noticing that she, she had a lot of friends. 90% of her friends were online friends. And a new piece of music would come out. It could be Lady Gaga. It could be classical music, anything. And they'd listen to the original once, and then they'd pass it around like the old game of telephone. Somebody would make their own version of it, and then they'd, you know, mash it up. And they'd never listen to the original again. And I thought that was fantastic. You know, here were people doing just what I, you know, try to encourage people to do, which is make the music your own. But what I was noticing is that these were all teenagers, and they were sharing this music. And if they wanted to go back to Lady Gaga and say, you know, why don't you try this harmony in your next song? Lady Gaga, as interesting as she is, doesn't have time really to, you know, she's not going to answer. So these kids were kind of talking to themselves, and everything they were doing was kind of, it was okay, but none of it got really great. It was all kind of a little gray. And so I thought, you know, could you set up a model where you could take people with all kinds of different background and make something together so that people with different insights and different experience could all help each other? And so I went to Toronto and said, I'd like to write a symphony, of course, and I'd like it to be a kind of portrait of Toronto, and I'll use the orchestra. I'd also like to listen to the city and see what's, you know, what the sound of the city tells about the place. And I'd also like to ask everybody in Toronto to help me write the piece. And unfortunately, they said yes, because I had no idea how to answer 4 million people. It's about the size of Philadelphia. And so we together, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra and myself and my team at the MIT Media Lab, we, over a year, figured out what that might mean, you know, how you would convince people that it was worth participating, what people could contribute, how you could go back and forth so it wasn't one way. And that was the first of this model. And I've done a series of these around the world. Each one I learned something different. And the Philadelphia Orchestra heard about these projects and came to me. One of the first things that Yannick Nézet-Séguin said was, first of all, I love the voice, you know, and of course, he's one of the world's great vocal conductors. That's why he's at the Metropolitan Opera as well as at the Philadelphia Orchestra. And he said there are choruses. There's a great choral vocal tradition in Philadelphia. Might we use the voice as something, a kind of special feature here? And I said, I think that's a fantastic idea. Let's do that. So from the very beginning, voices were central. And I said back to him, you know, Philadelphia is where democracy started. It's where the country started. And we are certainly at a crossroads now where many, many questions that we took for granted we can't take for granted anymore. Wouldn't it be an interesting project also to think about what democracy is now and what it might be and what's special about it here? And so those were the two ideas that we started this particular project with.
You might think that when someone does a musical composition, when someone does a novel, when someone does a painting, that the idea is in the artist's head and he or she expresses it in the art. In this case, the process and the idea seem very intertwined.
They are. And, you know, as we mentioned a minute ago, I'm a big believer in this project, in the idea of encouraging people to participate actively in music. To do it with a musical composition is both difficult and challenging, and it's scary. When I did the first project in Toronto, I cheated a little bit. I started out with basically a chord progression. I started that project by sending that chord progression to the orchestra. And I also made a graphic score at the beginning in Toronto and said, here's what I think maybe the movements could look like. And because I didn't want to start with nothing. That project worked great, but one of the things I realized was it's more powerful to start with nothing, to come and to find out who you meet and what's here. And so that's over the series, that's what I've learned to do. And it is a very different kind of process because you're absolutely right. When I'm writing an opera right now, and the opera, I really try to imagine the piece before I write the notes. And then, you know, with this one, I really am trying to find out what emerges and to decide with the people I meet what the piece should be.
So you're basically collecting building blocks, for want of a better term, through an app that people have on their phones. And I've noticed people submit everything from turning pages to a little child complaining to actual music. It's basically anything.
That's anything. We don't give any direction on that app at all. On the other hand, I have been doing a whole series of workshops and public activities where, you know, I do propose a context. Like tomorrow I'll be at the Museum of the American Revolution on their Halloween weekend. And we're just about to release a new app which will run not on a smartphone but on the on any computer, called Nebula. And that one, we've taken about a couple of thousand sounds that I've collected, all vocal sounds. It looks like kind of a night sky. It looks like a constellation, and each dot is a vocal sound that somebody has made. And we've analyzed all the vocal sounds and put the ones that are similar next to each other. And with that one, you're invited to make any vocal sound you want. You can talk into it, you can sing into it, and it uses the sound you make as a navigator into this constellation of 1,000 voices from Philadelphia. So it's, first of all, a way of having, you have the experience of connecting with these many voices in Philadelphia. But I think of it as a way of encouraging and inspiring people to explore different ways of using their voice.
So you have the app where people can submit any kind of sound. You have these visits where you're guiding people in ways to make sound and contribute sound. You, I guess, also are adding your own experience and impressions.
Absolutely. And I'm also working with people who are creating text, especially young people. So unlike any of the other pieces in this series, this one will have full orchestra and also many voices, about 250 singers from around town, as part of a choir that performs with the Philadelphia Orchestra. So they have to sing something. So I'm working with a couple of school groups and with a group called Mighty Writers, who are teenagers learning how to express themselves through words. And there we're not recording sound. We're talking about what text would express something specific about a place in Philadelphia, a feeling about Philadelphia, a feeling about democracy. You know, another thing I've been surprised about in Philadelphia, I mean, we know it's always been an international and an incredibly diverse city, but especially when I talk to teachers in the school system, I mean, it's a sanctuary city, but it's a city with an enormous amount of recent immigration. So I meet teachers who say that there isn't a single person in the entire class who was born in this country. So I think it's a very interesting city, along with this idea of democracy, of thinking about, well, what's it like to be arriving here now? And not just in the United States, but in this city. What's it like to be part of this community? Do you feel at home here? Do you feel part of shaping what happens next? And what does that mean?
So when you have all these, when you will have all these sounds, how do you create music? I guess everyone agrees that music is made up of sounds. But there's less agreement about, probably, is what kind of sounds and what kind of combinations create music. And you have your traditional background in music composition. What role do conventional instruments and conventional constructs like harmony and melody and color have? Are you still operating in some sort of conventional framework when you put all these sounds together?
It's been different in each of these portraits that I've done. Here in Philadelphia, telling a story about how voices represent us as individuals and as communities, telling a story about the difference between being alone, being part of a group that can help shape its own destiny, versus I mean, one thing I'm thinking about is even things like the role of a conductor with 500 people or 400 people on stage. That's a particular kind of leadership, but there could be a moment in this. I haven't told the orchestra this yet. This is just between you and me and our listeners. But there might be a moment in this piece where maybe the conductor stops conducting and maybe the ensemble conducts itself. So I think the kind of ensemble and social relationship, you know, an orchestra is made up of 100 people and there are lots of ways of, a concerto is a form where it's a kind of juxtaposition of an individual, the person playing the piano or the violin, and the group. But with the 100 people and the 300 singers, you can think about people doing things together, people doing different things that fit in harmony, things that clash. That kind of idea in this piece is more important to me than the relationship between a real sound recorded on the street and the sound a violin plays. So I think that the sounds recorded from around the city will be blended into the orchestra in a way that will make new sounds, will make it feel like, hopefully, like, oh my gosh, I'm in, Reading Terminal Market, or I'm in Fairmont Park, or, or in the middle of traffic. I think the city will feel like it's around you, but I will make a musical context out of all of this. There'll be, I think, harmony and melody all the way through, and the form of it will be determined by, I've written a lot of melodies on the word Philadelphia, actually. there aren't that many words that have five syllables where they're actually equal syllables,
Philadelphia,
Philadelphia, Philadelphia, Philadelphia, Philadelphia, Philadelphia. It's a beautiful word, actually, and it'll be a very musical piece.
How do you define music?
I think music is sound that conveys meaning and emotion to people. Music has a very broad definition. I think that I have a kind of responsibility for this piece to make it something where there's something people can follow and that there's something people can remember, and maybe there's something that gets introduced at the beginning that grows and takes on different meanings because it's in different contexts and becomes larger, smaller changes, that there's some kind of journey that's expressed in the sound, that it's not just a wash of sound. So I think there's something about what you can remember, what you can actually hear, what you can follow, perhaps the reference to other things you know. There's some pieces where you might want to really put somebody in a very different environment so everything feels new. I think that, since there's so many forces involved and I want it to mean something to the people who live here, and I also would love this piece to mean something about Philadelphia to people who've never been here.
What do you hope people will get from this experience of participating?
I think there are several levels. I definitely do believe very strongly that it's a great pleasure to listen to the sound all around us, and it's rich and interesting and remarkable and actually quite sophisticated, even in the middle of traffic. There's so many beautiful and interesting things to listen to. For that matter, increasing the sensitivity of listening to whoever you're sitting talking to, which is a colleague of mine at MIT, Sherry Turkle, is one of the great sociologists of technology, and she recently wrote a book on conversation. And she says that the ability to have empathy for people, for somebody else, requires being able to have a conversation for 7 minutes with focus. And she says it's scary how few people can actually still do that. We're distracted in so many ways. So just being able to listen and pay attention to another person is very important. So that's one thing. I think that it's important to me that the piece feels like it shows something important about Philadelphia right now. And I think part of that is, what the sense of neighborhoods is and the sense of the kind of, this actually very human city and it's actually a very quiet city compared to most big cities, and all the action happens inside or with friends or in some convening places. But, maybe that goes back to the Quaker roots. But there is, it is actually many things about just the way the city feels that I'd like to convey. I think this idea of having it be a forum for people to feel something about what's at stake in terms of democracy and in terms of the society we have and the city, the place we've inherited, and that we can't take any of it for granted now, that it takes a strong conviction and a lot of courage to build what's coming next. I think it's important to write a piece that brings that out. And I think it's important to just write a piece that moves people, where the story maybe is more complex than anything that could be said in a few sentences. And that's the kind of music that lives on and doesn't have anything to do with exactly where it's written. And I guess the last thing is I think it's very important that it's a piece that I feel proud of having been part of, but I really bend over backwards to make sure that anybody who contributes feels like they have a piece of it. It's not just a disembodied sound, that they've been part of a process and that it's important that they stepped forward. So unfortunately, I'm trying to do all those things.
Thank you so much, Todd Machover. It's very exciting.
Thank you, Susan.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.